Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think you should have done it.
No, I think it's ill-judged from him in his professional capacity.
Music playing now.
Egg Chasers! Hello, it's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We've already done a podcast about the World Cup quarterfinals. It's in your feed. Hit subscribe, go and listen, tell your mates. And this is the podcast all about the return of the Gallagher Premiership.
The Gallagher Premiership, wow.
JB's right there.
Hello, Tim.
Phil is right there.
Hello, Tim.
I'm a bit distracted because we were just having a chat about just all right. Let's just very briefly deal with this because we didn't mention it on the World Cup podcast. Jaco Pyper pictured in an airport departure lounge with a load of Welsh fans having a bit of a laugh, doing a photograph in which a load of them are doing elbow actions in homage to Sebastian Vahamahina, who got a red card for an elbow.
Good, hilarious,
including Jaco Pyper doing.
The elbow
himself.
Had it no? Here's the thing. Had it been a very controversial marginal call, I would have said, "What are you doing?" But it was a red card that was never in doubt.
Yes, it was. Exactly right,
and refs are allowed to have a laugh. And this is one of the things I love about rugby is that be you a referee, a professional player, an international coach, or a fan, you can mingle on a human level and have a laugh.
So exactly,
you can. Exactly. If I was in his shoes, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example, okay?
I definitely don't want him to get fired.
Yeah, no, he shouldn't get in trouble for it.
Yeah, don't want him to be in any trouble whatsoever.
Jaco Pyper can do it because it wasn't a controversial call. I would say that if you tried to do a picture with Aitnil as a bit of a laugh, all your mates filling in betting slips with Rob Howley, that's more problematic.
Or if it was... If it was Craig Joubert after the last World Cup with a load of Aussie fans doing knock on.
And he's, Joubert's like running off.
Did you see the tweet? It was bloody brilliant. Was it a Welsh player? Yeah, it was a Welsh player said he had like four predictions for scores for the quarterfinals. And Alan Brew replied to it.
Oh, yeah. It was Jamie Robertson and Alan Brew.
That's the one. Did you know who give you those tips? Way! What a brutal sport.
Yeah, it is. But what we love about it is that it's brutal and then we have these moments of levity and lightness and we still can and I never want rugby to lose that. But
yeah, quite.
The Gallagher Premiership is back.
Oh,
I love it.
Fills my heart with joy.
I love it. You actually enjoy it more than the World Cup.
Comfortably. It's not even close. I thought it was close. I thought in the World Cup, because I was so rugby starved, you know the way I guess a man craves water when he's been in the desert for so long. Well, that's what happened when the Rugby World Cup turned on. But
you've been seeing the AJ Bell Stadium in a mirage in the distance.
And now it's back and it is so good. It is so good. I've actually got annoyed this week. Mostly with Premier Rugby itself. The Premiership is, hands down, the best competition domestically. It probably even runs the European Cup close. It is that good. And if it wasn't for BT Sport, I don't think anyone would even know it was happening. I mean, the official rugby accounts for the Premiership, in fact, the whole Premiership themselves, they do such a terrible job of pushing the sport. It actually offends me.
They should just put the guys in Bristol Bears in charge of everyone's social media accounts.
Because the product is so amazing and the coverage that they give it is so, so dreadful. It is a travesty. It is a travesty.
Not the coverage that BT Sport give it.
No, the coverage BT Sport. Thank God for BT Sport because I don't know where else that you get your coverage from. But, you know, the Premiership needs to do a better job of promoting itself because it is so bloody good and it's back.
I think, in fairness, it does reflect at the moment the fact that unless you're a real diehard rugby fan, as we are, attention is elsewhere.
But look, stiffen your spine, fight for that same attention. Because that is your job.
Yeah.
You know, your job is to sell this league, and they've not done a very good job. So, yeah, that is my little whinge, and I don't want to talk about that anymore because there was some good rugby played.
Right,
some great rugby.
Some good storylines.
Mm.
Some interesting storylines, and already some teams that perhaps we were concerned about.
We were right to be concerned about them?
Yeah, in our preview pod. Some of the historically big teams who we were concerned about in our preview pod... Maybe we were right to be concerned.
Yes.
Yes. So we kind of between us, well, I mean, I predicted Saracens would squeak it and you guys predicted Saints would win.
Yep.
So kind of you guys were right on that and I wasn't far off being right.
No, it's big as you can, thank you.
It was very close. And but London, let's start with London Irish because new to the Premiership and they came away from the Ricoh Arena, another, I mean, they're quite comfortable in largely empty football stadiums.
Yes, they are. Yeah, it's home from home for them.
And they came away with a win.
Yeah.
And looked robust.
Hmm.
But I do remember 2 years ago they did the same thing. They won at the Twickenham doubleheader.
They beat
someone in the Twickenham doubleheader.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to get every point they can. I think they'll be fighting with Wasps to get relegated, or not to get relegated, I should say.
So this could have just been two of the relegation fodder teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is already a relegation dogfight. It's already a 10-pointer or an 8-pointer or whatever you want to call it. I think this is going to be... I think this is going to matter towards the end of the season is what I'm trying to say. Because Irish... Yeah, they did look robust in fairness. They had a great period of defence right at the end, that last, say, 10 minutes. But Wasps didn't really offer much.
We touched on something... And we have talked about it quite a lot recently, about options taking kicks for post and clawing a lead back, or a deficit back, sorry, or going for the corner. On this particular occasion, I was watching the telly going, what are you doing, Wasps?
Mm.
Who were... what were they down at this point? 8 points? No. 6 points.
They
were 6 points down with... 8 minutes to go.
Yeah, there were 6 points,
and they took the 3 points, and then what happened? I suppose it's easy to say hindsight is always 20/20. Actually, yeah, hindsight is 20/20. But what happened after they got the 3 points and they were only 3 points behind was they then had to go from 80 meters out.
Yeah, because London Irish kicked deep off the kickoff.
Yeah,
and you've got to play the whole 80+
and
meters.
Wasps almost did it, to be fair, but yeah.
Yeah, London Irish showed some good touches, some nice stuff. Their back three look good. Mm. Ben Loader is going to look very nice in a Bath shirt.
In about 12 to 18
months' time.
There was a lot of talk a few years ago about Sale trying to sign Ben Loader.
He looks great.
He is meant to be the real deal.
But the Hassel Collins finished off his try. He showed great gas to finish off.
Parton, that tackle.
Yeah.
That tackle on Kibberiggy to stop him from getting his hat trick was immense.
Yeah.
So and also, as we were heavily critical on the last podcast, and I still think justifiably so, of London Irish's recruitment, but they're back three very young, homegrown lads.
Yeah.
So maybe London Irish have got a bit more of a balance than we maybe gave them credit for before the weekend.
The difficulty is going to be, because the majority of this team, not quite all, Paddy Jackson and a few others, but the majority of the team played last year, certainly a good chunk of it. The stars that we listed in our preview pod last week, none of them were there.
No.
So it's how they now...
Curtis Rona's played.
Curtis Rona is a good point from Waratahs came in. But it's now how do they integrate those new guys who are coming back into it?
Yeah.
Because if you just dump them all in as soon as they're available, that's not going to work. So you've got to introduce.
Oh, no, it really worked for London Welsh, didn't it? When they that's a great example. It's very different because London Welsh had scant resources by comparison, and look at what's happened to the club now. But London Welsh came up with a team from the Championship and looked like they were going to survive at one point, and that Sale were going to go down, and then the last few weeks of the season it all changed. But then the next time they came up, they bought a load of names. The ill-fated signing of Piriwipu.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just was an abomination. So
I will always... Is that Lyndon Welsh you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will always remember this article to the day that I die. It was a bit of a fluff piece, really, for the Premiership. I know I've mentioned it so many times, but they had the directors of rugby all together.
Who wouldn't want...
And one of them said, who wouldn't want the attacking back line of Piriwipu, Ollie Barkley, Gavin Henson, the guy...
Tim Molinar,
and some other guy, Sebastian Jewell. I was like, hands up, me, I wouldn't want that. And I'd love to play against it every week, like everybody did.
But yeah,
Seb Jewell was good.
That's going to be interesting, because as you rightly said, they've got a cohesive bunch that have been together for a year.
That you are going to slowly break apart.
Yeah.
That's
going to take some serious man management. That.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
But a very important win.
Yeah.
Very important win. And a loss for Wasps. And Wasps, they did some nice things. I mean...
Jack Willis is the beast. He's a genuine out-and-out.
Five turnovers. Beast. Like five breakdown turnovers.
He was superb.
That's unbelievable.
Jackling, five jackals.
But he's carrying as well.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong boy.
He's only 6 foot two. He's only 107 kilograms, 6 foot two. But, you know, he's just immense. He's just immense.
So he was class. Kibirigi finished his two tries brilliantly. Absolutely superbly.
I did say some awkward things about Wasps last week. Maybe I was right to say it. Maybe if they coach well and they manage their resources correctly, they might be able to navigate through the Premiership relatively successfully. I'd still be amazed if they finish top half. I mean, utterly amazed.
I just think Jimmy Gopeth can't get fit quick enough. He's been the piece of their jigsaw that they've missed. And at a time when there's all this chaos going on off... Well, not chaos, that's over-egging the pudding. There's all this uncertainty going off the pitch. There's a lot of turnover in players. He's sort of...
He's the man to come in and sort out the accounts.
He's the... Exactly. He's like the wily old head they need. And
And I don't even think he wants to be that, really. I think he came to Wasps to win things. And it must be quite disappointing for him now to be in the twilight of his career, being rushed back to play for what is now basically a declining side.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would probably do a great job at Saracens or somewhere like that, like as the placeholder whilst the internationals are away. I think that would be somewhere where he'd like to go, or, you know, a Leinster. Or maybe he's past it now, actually.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be happy.
I don't think he will.
Fulfilling any role.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be. particularly as you went to Wasps to win things. He was a big signing.
And they got very close the 1 year.
They did.
Other games. Friday night. Should we jump to Friday?
Yes,
this was interesting.
I was going to say, you talk about back row players being impressive this weekend. Yes, Jack Willis on Sunday was, but Nathan Hughes, wow.
Why can't he play like that all the time?
Why couldn't he play like that in my fantasy rugby draft team last year? Why did he have to wait until he's in Phil's fantasy rugby draft team this year?
Good man management, that's what he's getting now.
And just to go back to Wasps, by the way, losing him, Elliot Daly, and Cooper Woolley is bloody enormous.
And LaRue.
That's a lot of talent. Hats off to Bristol. I mean, that must be the best club in the Premiership at the moment to be following. You've got a packed out stadium. It's a big stadium too. The way they play the rugby, how they do it, I do not know. It's like they magic players into the back line who shouldn't be there. So they have this thing where they pass down the back line and all of a sudden they flood around the corner from I don't know where, and they make up extra numbers. You think, how on earth have they done that? They are magnificent to watch.
Yeah. And they were brilliant in this game. I can't help... Did either of you get this feeling? So... I was watching Bristol play this attacking brand of rugby. We'll run it from everywhere. We'll throw everything. We'll run and offload everything. And they were certainly more than good enough to beat Bath. But I got this longing to be watching Japan play. Because they were good, but they were so far. Like, their skill levels, there were so many knock-ons relative to Japan. So many missed opportunities relative to Japan.
I don't know about that.
What I would also add to that, I know what you're saying, that they have that Japan-esque quality.
They want to play the same brand.
Without the same precision.
Exactly that.
But I would actually add to that and say that I think this is a different Bristol from last year.
It's definitely an improved Bristol.
And in a much better way. So they've got... But Bristol have a lot more balance. They play territory first. They do what you're talking about, but they're not running it from under their own sticks.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. And I can remember speaking to Pat Lam a couple of times after defeats, you know, asking him the questions and saying, you know, putting that to him, you know, do you need more balance in the way you're playing?
Are you sure you want to run from under your sticks at every opportunity?
No, this is how we're playing, this is how we're doing it.
It's kind of the opposite way that most people would build a team. You'd say, first and foremost, let's get our basics right. Yeah. Let's get our territory and play in the right places of the field. Pat Lam seems to have said, right, let's get our play right and don't worry about possession, we'll worry about that next year. They've gone about it the opposite way around.
Well, they did evolve it slightly as the season went on last year, and they got within 5 points of playoffs.
Yeah, they did.
And top six. So... But I like what I see from Bristol because they've just got a little bit more balance. I mean, you talked about some
Dave Atwood was good.
Atwood and Hughes just changed the texture of that side massively.
Well, Atwood
just
make sure you can win your ball. I mean, he's a very busy guy. The problem I have with Hughes is occasionally the game gets too big for him. Not this game, not by a long stretch, but it does happen.
I haven't seen him looking as lean as he looks.
No, and apparently he has lost weight too. Apparently that they made him a lot fitter. I don't know if they know how true
still
that
looks
is.
Enormous.
He is enormous.
So I think it's probably just enormous. He's got good weight.
Yeah, he seemed very very lively, didn't he? He always wanted to be on the ball.
So it's one thing you can see, like his it sounds silly, but his sort of jaw bones look more defined.
Yeah,
interesting.
And cheekbones
chiseled.
Yeah, so chiseled.
So I think he's leaner.
Well, I mean his stats. So over 100 meters made with ball in hand, which was comfortably the most of any.
And with Nathan Hughes, it is literally ball in one hand.
Yeah.
Just in one hand.
Like a loaf of bread.
And 10 defenders beaten.
Wow.
4 clean breaks.
Wow.
What did he score in fantasy rugby?
He was
top scorer.
Comfortably top scorer.
Top scorer.
40?
40,
37, 38 points.
God damn it.
He didn't do that for me once last year.
It was...
Selfish, Tim.
He just
selfish.
Ended up getting yellow cards and red cards all
what
the time.
What idiot. It's all about culture, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and if we found out what the limits of culture were, we need to ask Stuart Hooper, because this was
what a tough first day at the office.
Local
my
rivals.
Word.
Yeah,
you've got all the salary cap in the world to spend.
Brutal,
and you get an absolute hiding. But
with the caveat that he has an incredible amount of talent,
not there.
Yeah, yes. But they played, 9 phases of one-up rugby? I mean, I was literally watching the TV, counting the phases of one-up rugby, and it's one-up. I think they had 12 phases, 9 of them were just one-up runners. That was it?
That was it. That, for me, was the most disappointing thing. That their game plan seemed to be one-up rugby, hope to yield a penalty from that one-up rugby, kick to the corner and try and crash it over.
It was not good to watch.
Their only try, the Mercer try, came from exactly that. From that type of play.
Yeah, when Mercer went down early doors, I thought, oh God. I mean, if Mercer would have gone, I'm not sure what threat they had at all. At all. Even with their talent, I don't know how far you can go with Rhys Priestland at 10. And I think the 9 situation is going to be a revolving door. I do like Treadley. I loved him at Exeter. But I just don't think that they've got halfbacks which can take him anywhere.
Treadley will play well, but he's limited by the 10 of the pack around him.
Yeah.
Treadley's a good player.
Completely agreed. Lewis Boyce, utterly moronic.
Boycey!
England's Lewis Boyce. Don't forget that. Just the whole thing imploded. They looked like a team which hadn't got a plan. I mean, they hadn't, like, they've never met each other. Maybe it's veterans rugby. I don't know how they plan this game, but
it's
wasn't
a horrible baptism for Stuart Hooper.
Yeah,
really
it's
horrible.
Yeah.
The worrying thing is, you know, who is putting together the game plans? Who is putting together the patterns? Where is the structure?
It's been an extended pre-season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like he's not had these players for 6 and 8 weeks.
It'll get much easier next weekend, of course. when they welcome the Exeter Chiefs to the Rec.
Exeter were not great.
True, yeah.
They were not great. It was a very lacklustre performance. I mean, I think actually part of that should be credited to Harlequins who have got real defence, real good defence.
Their defence has improved so much.
I actually didn't see any of this game, so you'll have to talk me through it.
Well, I think that you had two very good defences. Exeter actually didn't look like they had a spark in their back line, which is an odd thing to say about Exeter.
Yeah.
But I want to put more of the positive emphasis on Harlequins for being very good defensively. But again, we'll learn over the next couple of weeks how much that is a reality, whether it is Exeter being a little bit not quite there without Slade or Noel.
Hold on a minute.
Or DeVoto. Well,
last
I
week...
I don't know, selected, but... Yeah.
Last week I asked, is Tom Hendricks... Oh, hang on, forget it. No.
started 12.
No, I'm going to ask again. Did Tom Hendrickson play? And one of you said, "Oh, what the Kiwi guy?"
Yeah.
Well, I was just looking at him now. He moved over when he was 5.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and he played for Pirates and then Exeter, and he played again. The superbly handsome and broad-shouldered.
He's a devilishly handsome chap. Him, Tom Hendrickson, and Henry Slade on a night out together. Good, that centre pairing.
Stop it.
Oh, and Sam Hill actually is an incredibly good-looking fella as well.
Mm.
In fact, Exeter's centre. Well, he went. He's a lovely Ian. Man. Lovely man. But no, Sam Hill, Henry Slade and Tom Hendrickson. Name me a better looking hat-trick of centres to go out on to go and slay on a night out.
Someone will. I'm sure someone will.
I don't think one exists.
Quite a good-looking Quinn side here. Did you actually watch this game?
Well, tell me more about how good-looking they are.
I was interested
particularly
to see how...
What do you mean? Are we still talking about aesthetically good-looking?
No, no, just looking like a good team.
You like that Mike Brown rugged look, don't you?
Did anyone watch Landajo? I can't say his name, though.
Landajo.
I've seen the extended highlights.
Yes, same.
Not the full game.
How did he go? Because I think this boy can put pressure on Danny Kerr.
Decent, but Tim has summed it up well. So he was giving... good quick ball to Smith, who was trying things, but then the organisation of the Chiefs' defence did limit Quinn's. Ibatoya,
he looked really good.
Took his tries really well.
Yes, he did.
He looked very good.
Yeah,
lucky someone's got him in fantasy rugby boys.
Mm.
Problem with Quinn's wingers is if
Tim, I just say massive thank you and big shout out to Alex Shaw who I recruited to point me in the right direction of emerging players.
Well, thank
you for that, Alex.
Thank you, Alex Shaw. We might actually go back to our rightful place as the best fantasy rugby draft league in the world.
What a great guy,
because
Alex Shaw.
Last
2 years, we would have been, had you not been in our league.
Had you been within 1,000 points of the top half of the table.
Well, this week I was top scorer, so deal with that.
Problem with Quinn's wingers, as I've found to my cost in the past, is that Paul Gustard loves to revolve them, just completely change them week to week.
Oh, well, in some of them, just end their careers.
Yeah.
So it was Charlie Matthews, Tim Visser, Charlie Matthews went to Wasp, but he's not a winger, so ignore that. The Charlie Walker is in Treviso or Zebra.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's got a panache for getting rid of wingers, but hopefully Ibatoy is a real deal.
He won't be getting rid of Ibatoy.
I hope not.
That's for sure. So that's that game. We'll only know a bit more in the next couple of weeks whether Exeter are a little bit not quite.
Exeter will be fine.
No, they will be fine, but they were not themselves. Yeah. But they still came away with a win.
Yes.
And Sam Simmons played a game, which is great to see.
Mm.
Yeah, and he played well. He was one of the few sparks in that Exeter team.
Yeah. What else was positive over the weekend? Or
Saracens, Northampton.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, this one. Yeah. Back and forth, to and fro.
Yeah, but Northampton, it did always feel... I mean, they won. It was 3-1 in the end. And it did feel like... It was their game to lose, really.
Yeah.
But it was only a James Grayson penalty on the 80th minute, the final kick of the game that did win it for them. Because, as we all know about Saracens, they're even when they're a second string team and they're not playing particularly well, they're still a bloody good squad.
They've still got a hell of a lot of good players in.
They have.
Even with everyone away.
Yeah.
But they also had some kids that you don't really know, really know about who are coming in looking good. So Saracens will be fine.
Saracens will definitely be fine.
I want to talk about the Sale game. Can we just...
If we just touch on Worcester's great win against Leicester.
Really good, really good. Did anyone watch it?
I've not seen anything of, actually.
But I just saw a little bit of Ted Hill looked good. Took his try well. He loves scoring against Leicester, doesn't he?
He does.
Don't we all?
Worrying for Leicester. Right, who's... Well, firstly, here's one question. Because on the World Cup podcast, you, I think rightly, JB, were very, very down on Ireland. And what did you say? Disgraceful.
Disgraceful behaviour, yeah. Disgraceful performance.
Who had a more... Who's relative, obviously, but who would you rank as the more disappointing performance, Ireland or Bath?
Ooh, I mean, in terms of ineptness... I think we know Bath were going to be bad, whereas there was hope for Ireland. So Ireland would be more disappointing.
Bath are as poor as you were expecting them to be.
Yeah, I think
Or Bath, slightly a little bit worse than you were
Bath
expecting.
Bath probably met the lower end of my expectations, whereas Ireland blew them out of the water.
Okay. Leicester were very disappointing as well.
What, even with Noel Reid at fly half?
Yeah.
I can't believe
Tom
that.
Tom Harwood, Kyle Eastman again. Pulled out injured before a game. How many times has that happened?
Oh, yeah. Kyle Eastman is just...
Was he ill?
Ill.
I don't know. Before the game.
No idea what happened or what's going on.
Yeah, he is perennial heartbreak for anyone who supports any... Well, just for a rugby fan, actually, because he's so good. He's such a talented player.
He looked really good in the Premiership Cup.
He's a great player.
When they beat Exeter Chiefs at home, he looked really good.
But he just can't stay fit for more than... I mean, it comes down to the fact that he's like 4'5" or something. He's a very, very small
It's
man.
Coming up to Panto season, isn't it?
It is coming up to Panto season, yes. Quite. He's a very powerful bloke. And I just think, he often picks up niggles and stuff, which other players don't for that exact reason. And it's a shame because he's so good.
He is, when he wants to be.
The other game, Wasps, did we touch on that?
Let's talk about Sale. Let's talk about Gloucester.
We definitely touched on Wasps, London Irish at the start of the show.
Marcus Watson's hair, we can talk about that.
Yeah, we can do that. Okay. What about Gloucester? Should we talk about Gloucester.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see this game. How good were they?
A great comeback. Oh. Two late tries.
Do you know what? I am so glad I'm not a fan of any rugby team. I'm particularly glad I'm not a fan of Sale, because if I was a fan of Sale, I would have my Saturday utterly ruined. I'd have been miserable for hours after the game.
It's interesting.
I would have thought about nothing.
You're seeming very quite frustrated as you're saying this. almost like a fan would be.
If I was a fan, I would have all those emotions. Thankfully, I'm not a fan, so nothing like that happened.
You could just relax watching this from inside the ground.
Exactly. First half is the best I have seen Sale play for absolutely ages. Akka van der Merwe is an utter beast. The Dupree boys are very good. Everything clicked. Simon Hammersley looks like a great signing.
So what happened?
Same as Australia, in a very, very small way, same as Australia. They were offered points and they didn't take it. And
is that arrogance? Is that arrogance or is that the game plan, you think?
It could be both. The answer is I don't know. So
that must have been premeditated.
I got no idea.
In the first half, it must be premeditated.
Yeah,
when you're chasing the game like Australia ended up doing.
Were they really on top up front?
Oh, they were utterly dominant.
So they thought,
we'll just ping it in the corner.
We're going to have this. We're going to press home our advantage.
So who was? I watched it from the gantry, actually. And at half time, I turned around to the guy I was watching it with, and I said to him, I think Sale are going to lose this because they've thrown absolutely everything at Gloucester, and Gloucester just absorbed everything. And if you think about that, I mean, they were so on top Sale that when Gloucester went into the change rooms, they must have thought, well, they've thrown everything at us and we're only 10 points down. Let's go out and win.
10 points. 10 points away at the AJ Bell Stadium.
Exactly.
Sale should never lose. Sale, with that team at home, 10 points up, should never lose a game.
Oh, well.
I don't care who the opponent is.
I'm going to say let's just shelve the Sale performance, because I honestly think there is something very special happening at Gloucester.
Go on. That's interesting.
The way that Gloucester reacted, they came out, and frankly, this game was lost on the Daniel Dupria kick. But it wasn't really. It was
Rob. That'd be the mistake.
Yeah, Rob Dupria kick, right? But it wasn't really. I mean, Billy Twelvetrees misses two penalties and he misses a conversion. So really, Gloucester had this wrapped up. But Sale were lucky to be in it at the end. We'll just hang out on Sale for a little longer. They've got all these new players, but I think they need to understand the roles for these players. So, having a guy like Will Griffith-John is amazing because he makes all his tackles and he's a good starter. But he's not a guy who's going to make an impact off the bench. Same with lads like Rob Webber or any number of boys who would start last year but are now on the bench. Well, they're not impact players. So I wonder if they've got to rethink that. So,
well, it's interesting because I was thinking about the England front three starting in reserve.
Yeah.
And you would argue that the starting front three are more explosive, more creative, better hands. The reserves, particularly Marler and Cole, they offer you solidity.
Exactly. Yes.
So if you're winning a game and you bring those boys on, you get a rock-solid platform to then control the game from.
Yeah,
They really were.
I mean, they really need... Gloucester was so... the cliche, the game of two halves. Sale had to work bloody hard to try and get a foothold second half. So when you bring on your bench with 10 minutes in second half with those kind of guys, you're not going to get the explosivity. They should have gone the other way around. Anyway.
But 10 minutes into the second half, Sale is still winning by 10 points.
No, they weren't, because straight after the...
Tom Marshall.
Is it Tom Marshall or Atkinson try?
So Atkinson was 51 minutes.
Yep.
So 10 minutes after the half, Sale is still leading. They're still leading 10-0.
You are right. But the momentum of the game had completely swung. I mean, you could just tell. Now,
let's flip, because Gloucester have always been relatively poor away from home. And not many teams come away from Sale. Whatever Sale team put out, not many teams come away from there with a win. So that's a huge win for them.
I was actually sat next to the Gloucester coaching staff.
And Sippers played very well.
Yeah,
by all accounts.
Second half. And they celebrated like they'd won the league. I mean, it was a big win. Now, later on in the press room, Ackerman walks in. And I tell you what, I've only ever been in the presence of the guy. I've asked him four questions in my entire life. If he gave me a red shirt, I would attempt to run through walls. I don't know what it is about the guy, but they've got the right man there. I have no doubt that he is the right man. Whether he can win it, because other teams are trying to win it too, I don't know, but he's the right man.
He is him and...
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he has that kind of dad quality in the sense that if he said, well done to you, or give you a little pat on the back, you'd be floating. You'd be floating on air. But he's the sort of person that if he said I'm not angry with you, I'm disappointed, you would be crushed.
Yeah, the way he answered the questions about his players, I mean, I felt myself getting confident on their behalf. he is an amazing character. The gravitas that he has. I've only met him twice. I won't even say I've met him. I've just asked him questions. Mm. You've probably met him or been in his presence more than I have. And there's just something about the guy.
I'll tell you one thing. His eyes, they're those eyes that are so warm and friendly, but you can see...
That's psychotic.
You can see, I would never, ever want to get on the wrong side of you.
Yeah, so I asked him, do you think... Would you want to take the kicking duties away from Billy Twelvetrees? Bearing in mind, he's missed three kicks. It could have cost you the game, and you've got so much other talent. And he said something along the lines of, Billy's been with us for... a long time, he is key, and he's professional enough to look at what he's done wrong, and he will be practicing. So no, we will be keeping him on. I asked him about the half-time team talk, and everything he said was just exactly what you'd want to hear as one of your players coming out the mouth of the guy that represents you.
Everything you hear from Gloucester is that they love him.
It is definitely legit there. Whatever they've got, maybe they don't have exactly the right players or whatnot, but what the team that they've got there, I am confident. Are going to do something. Confident.
Well, as I say, coming from there with a win,
it's a big result.
Big.
Yes.
Yeah. That's big. And you mentioned the Wasps London Irish win, in that it could be a, you know, when you later in the season you could be thinking of it as that was a huge moment. Equally, in a top four chase, you could be looking at a win away at the AJ Bell as a big moment.
Yeah,
I think we'll come towards the end of the season and there will not be many teams who've won away at Sale this year.
No, you've got to be a bit philosophical about this win, or loss, I should say. Because if you think about Sale's opening games in the previous two seasons, when they have had some talent, particularly last year, there were high expectations. They got hammered by about 50 points to Quins. Year before that, it was about 50 points to Wasps.
So they both come. Well, how are they not learning?
And they both come good. It's just, it's, you know, they're just playing at a different level now. So I expect them to bounce back strongly against London Irish. And you know, they're playing a Gloucester team, which I do think are going to be. I reckon they might get in the top two. I really do.
I think they have tried to combat exactly what you talk about, in that they have been cold at the start of a season for the last two or three years.
Yeah. Well, that's why they played the team they did in the Premiership Cup.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why they went out full tilt in the Premiership Cup. And it must be disappointing that the best laid plans, it has not come to fruition. But in a World Cup year, now, with their squad, they're going to be fine.
Who did I meet, or who did I see in the AJBL? I didn't meet him. I saw him at the AJBL. Who was present?
Steve Diamond.
Correct.
Okay, who was present? Well, I mean, I know all the fans by name. First name.
Dave and Johnny.
So who might have come? Are they based in the Northwest?
Yes.
Jim Mallander?
No.
Is it a rugby player?
No.
Is it a coach?
Yes.
Ooh.
Is it a coach of?
I know.
Go on.
It's not a rugby coach, is it?
No, it's not.
I've seen this. I've seen a little video on Twitter.
Is it Gareth Southgate?
It is not.
You're getting warmer.
Alex Ferguson.
Correct. Alex Ferguson was at the AJ Bell.
Nice.
He loves his rugby now. He is a convert. After watching the Toulouse game, he was due to come again, but he didn't. And he was there on the weekend.
Did you have a chat with him?
I did not.
You should have asked if he'd come on Rugby Dungeon.
Do you know what? If he is there again, the problem is he's kind of with the ownership, isn't he? Mm. He didn't really want to be.
He's on another level, that man. And I've spent 9 months, maybe basically a whole football season, every Friday going to Carrington to do a 1-to-1 interview with him for
really?
5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Before any of the rugby, when I was working XFM back in the day, XFM Manchester, we had the Man United coverage for a year. And I used to go and have 5 minutes with Fergie.
Really? Why did you not tell us these things?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he used to do MUTV, and then he would walk out of the MUTV studio, and I'd be waiting with my little recorder, and we'd have 5 minutes, because we were the radio broadcaster, we got like a 1-to-1. And then he would go. And in fact, he would go from one bit of the Carrington complex to another, and it was literally walking across a car park to the main press room. It's talking 50 metres, and he got a car. He got in the back of a car. A car drove him from the front of one door to the front of the other door, and he'd get out and go up and do that.
So what's he like?
Different, not the same as Ruan Ackerman, but when you see him with people around the club, so much warmth, and then the second he's with like press or anyone like that, or anyone that's outside his bubble, his Manchester United bubble, wall straight up.
So weirdly, I kind of knew a guy who played at Manchester United, a friend of a friend actually, and he was a fullback. I say knew him. Like, I've been out on the beers with him once, maybe. What's his name? Lynch, I want to say, or he was like a left back. Anyway, it doesn't.
Oh yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's the guy that scored a goal against Deportivo La Coruña maybe 12 years ago in the European Cup. It doesn't matter. But the stories that he would say is like when he'd see Sir Alex Ferguson around the training ground, he would really build up his confidence. Like, little things like how's my favourite fullback today, or whatever it is, just make him feel like he's the most important guy. I thought that was a really interesting sort of psychological trick.
Yeah, and what was fascinating about that is I would just watch him just going around the sort of complex. It's just the conversations he have, just like that, tiny little things, but he knows everybody's name, whatever job they do, even the person that was pushing like a trolley with tea or whatever. He'd stop and have a quick chat with him. So it's just like unbelievable amount of warmth. Exactly, much like you talked about Ruan Ackerman, like people would just walk over hot coals for him.
So yeah. I've read a few bits about him, And one of the things I found interesting was, so he would have, particularly in like the late 90s or the 2000s, he'd have his starting team, and then he'd have players. So an example would be Nicky Butt or Phil Neville, who were not in the starting team. But what he would do is say, right, you're not playing for the next 3 weeks, but then we've got a big game against Chelsea. You're starting against Chelsea, and you're marking whoever it was at the time, Drogba or whoever. So for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be focusing solely on that one performance, and you are going to win that game for us. So
how weird!
I know, that
wow,
that was so that was one insight.
If you're managing a huge array of talent, you can imagine Mark McCall maybe doing something like that.
Yeah.
With a guy like Max Mallins or whatever.
Capoca or someone.
Tompkins or someone
like
Nick
that. Yeah, Nick Tompkins, who actually has been on the outside for the last few years. Well, not on the outside, but you know what I mean.
And the other thing that came out from Ferguson, it was last year or last couple of years, was in his book or his most recent book, there was a letter that he wrote to Eric Cantona after Cantona retired at 31 or whatever.
This went around on social media.
It was shared loads.
Amazing.
It was a really interesting insight into those man management skills. And it was those man management skills after Cantona had already walked. It was like 6 months after he'd walked away from the game. But it was it's really interesting. I'd recommend just Google. You'll find it because it was everywhere.
I read that letter and thought, God, if I was a Manchester United fan, on a game day, if the wind's in the right direction, I can hear the crowd on a match day from my back garden. But if I was a Manchester United fan, I might have like welled up at that.
Yeah,
because it was wow,
brilliant letter.
Well, it's just putting it back into rugby context, specifically for Sale. I think it's very interesting because, I mean, Alex Ferguson has been linked to Sale in some way for quite a while.
Well, he's like Steve Diamond's old neighbour.
Yeah,
it's basically
that, and also I think he must be friends with one of the owners, I assume.
Because I've said before, the golf course that Steve Diamond, I think Steve Diamond might move now, but the golf course that his house used to back onto or still does, same as Fergie's. I've played golf at there once, but the one time I played there, I had to stand aside because Fergie was landing a helicopter on the 17th green.
Nice. I played two holes and go home.
He was coming back from Aintree.
Brian Majority filmed Sir Alex giving a talk at Sale Sharks.
Oh, that's right.
So he's obviously been around. I mean, I've just seen him. That's all that I know. But it's very interesting. I think, aside from the players, which everyone talks about, the biggest change in Sale are all the supporting structures that ownership are putting around Dimes in order to help him succeed. And it is quite exciting stuff. So watch this space. But that's Sale. And also, if you're a Gloucester fan, you should be bloody delighted over what's going on there.
Definitely.
Just one thing before we go into our predictions, boys.
Cornerstone?
No, I just want to talk very, very quickly. Yes, Cornerstone, of course. Let's do a Cornerstone read, and then I just want to address quickly the Saracen salary cap thing, which I think there could be some updates on.
Let's shave your beard before we... I don't know, I can't think of an analogy for the two, so I won't. Cornerstone are one of the...
Before we shave your wage bill.
Thank you. Cornerstone are one of the fantastic partners we have who make this podcast possible. We don't ask for a penny from you, but we do have these partners who come to us with these brilliant deals that we can offer to you, and that helps keep the lights on that we've got in the studio right now, help JB and Phil sit comfortably in their big bark lounges, reclining, and me in my office chair.
Exactly right.
You're a very comfy office chair.
Like a salary man in an insurance office.
But we don't want to cost you a penny that isn't actually an absolute bargain, and that's what we've got for you, a brilliant offer from Cornerstone. They are the original mail order razor company who will send you 6 precision-engineered razors for just £4 with your free aluminium weighty engraved shaft as well. So to get it engraved with whatever letters you want, perfect Christmas present for the old man, or... If your missus keeps nicking your razors, get her one as well. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Involved. JB, what are you saying?
Right, well, pulling back the curtain a bit here, we don't often edit this podcast, but this is an edit. This is actually the second take that we've had on this.
Because my adrenaline is... Yeah. My heart's still beating quite hard at the minute. I'm just calming down.
So we've got two competing camps here. If it was up to me, I would tell you everything which I know pretty much immediately.
And you would throw in some wild speculation alongside
it. Yeah, so what I'd do is I'd get these half-truths, which I kind of know, and then I'd take that to its logical conclusion.
There are known unknowns and unknown knowns.
Exactly. I don't know where it would end. Maybe
you'd Rumsfeld it.
Yeah, Saracens joining Super Rugby or something. I don't know how this would end. It wouldn't end well for Saracens. Just let me say this. I'm going to prep the ground because, for all the speculation that I've heard, I don't know anything for certain. I think there is going to be an announcement around Saracens almost immediately after the World Cup. In fact, I'm almost certain it is ready to go now, and I'm certain I know what it's going to say. But that's all I'm prepared to share because, well, we don't want to be breaking the news here. We just want to be reacting to it. So if you're a Saracens fan, hold on to your seats. It's going to be an interesting few weeks, I think.
After the World Cup.
Enjoy your World Cup. Enjoy World Cup, because after that it might get rocky. I hope it doesn't, but it might do,
and it might not.
If Saracens are definitely going to have players in the World Cup final, though.
Yes, they are.
Are they?
Reece Carey.
They've got Vincent Cock, Liam Williams on, yeah, and Reece Carey.
Reece Carey on opposite sides
on one matchup.
All Blacks?
No, All Blacks.
No one in the All Blacks.
Yes.
They're going to be represented. Are there any other Premiership clubs outside of England that will be represented potentially in a Bath?
Sale Sharks.
Francois Lowe, yeah.
Sale Sharks.
So Bath could have been guaranteed had Faletau been playing.
Yes.
They would have been guaranteed.
I'm with you. So Sale don't have any Welsh guys. After Avion Lewis Roberts didn't make the squad again. It's literally just Saracens.
Saracens are guaranteed. They might be the only team in the world who are guaranteed a man in the final.
I think they must be.
At least one.
Because
the England, the New Zealand half of the draw, there's no chance because it's England, New Zealand, no one playing outside them. So. Is there any other club that has a Saffa and a Welshman?
I was thinking Wasps, but they don't have a Welshman. Only Thomas Young was playing, and Willie LaRue still belonged to Wasps.
And still belonged, yeah.
So it's a bit of a stretch, that one, isn't it? Well,
there you go.
I know, let's carry on enjoying the salad days of Saracens with some predictions.
Some predictions for next week. Okay. So Friday night, we've got Bath hosting Exeter, so I cannot see this ending well for Bath.
They're at home.
Can we just talk about how good our predictions were? We only got one. I think as a group, we got one wrong.
London
last week.
Irish.
We got London Irish wrong, London Irish. And we got Sale wrong.
Yeah,
but I won a substantial amount of money on my predictions this week.
So. Well done, you hero.
Thanks, pal.
So London Irish. What was the first game?
Bath to Exeter.
Exeter to absolutely punish Bath. Punish them.
I don't think they're going to absolutely punish them.
Ooh. Why?
Because, again, we're going to learn, were Exeter not at the races or were Harlequins just very good in defence? I have my suspicions that without a little bit of spark in that back line, Exeter aren't at the races yet. Putting Slade, Nolan, Hogg into that back line, different story.
Mm. Yeah, but it's that pack.
And Nick White. Oh, yeah, and Nick White.
Yeah, Nate White is important for them.
Who on earth is Yannis Kirsten?
South African. I mentioned Jacques Vermeulen last week's podcast.
Yeah, he did.
As one
yeah.
to watch, but Yannis Kirsten is the other one.
6'5", 113 kilograms. Yeah. What else would he be?
He's like back five.
Yeah,
they're
of course
two
he is.
South African back five players.
Yeah, he's
yeah utility.
Utility back five depth squad depth guys. So I think basically Rob Baxter is kind of engineering his squad to get through games like the one against Harlequins last weekend, maybe this one against Bath as well, without having to use up too much of the tank of his big players. Like, so Don Armand will be fresh come the European matches.
Interesting. I think even despite all the things that you've just said, Tim, Exeter are going to smash Bath to pieces, into tiny, tiny little porcelain pieces after they've been hit by a hammer. That's how bad it's going to be. It's going to be dreadful for Bath.
I think they'll win, but not by a lot.
Give me Exeter by at least 15.
Exeter by 10.
Exeter by 4.
Saturday. So we've got Northampton hosting Worcester.
This is difficult. I mean, this is genuinely difficult. Northampton are very, very good at the moment. James Grayson played well.
Yeah.
Again, there's a context there. It was not... It was Saracens B.
Yeah. It was second string.
Do you remember
Saracens.
The days when Leicester were really good? I mean, not just a bit good, like really, really good. They were even good when they're internationals away because it's a club culture, and you could go to Welford Road at any time and start expecting a defeat. Same with Saracens. They lost Allianz 9 times under Mort McCall in all competitions.
Yes, agreed. What I found really interesting was in their Premiership Cup matches, and I worked on a couple of Saints games. They conceded 17 tries in 3 matches. And I thought,
that's amazing.
What is going on with their defence? But they were quite open about saying, we're being quite experimental, we're trying a few things.
Well, like not defending. I mean, I can't imagine what you'd be trying in defence.
Well, I'm not sure. I think whatever they were trying, they've picked out what worked and what didn't, and they've gone back to whatever they were doing last year, because they only conceded one try against Saracens. And I think they'll win. By 9.
I'm with you about 9. I think it's going to be competitive for a little bit, and then Northampton are going to run away with it. Give me 2 scores, 9 points sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it might end up being a bit more than that as well.
So a couple of garbage time tries.
Yeah, Northampton comfortable. Other games, so Gloucester hosting Wasps, which
doesn't
is
get any easier for Wasps.
Comfortable home win.
Comfortable home
yeah,
win.
Yeah, that's another smashing. That's an absolute beatdown, I guess.
So yeah, you could have, in my mind, you've got 3 potentially greater than 10-point wins there.
I tell you who was good for Gloucester on the weekend, Joe Simpson. I thought he's really, really assured, which would be nice for Wasps.
Against his old team. Yeah. Lovely. He'll really love that.
He's a good player.
With Danny Robson against his old team.
Yeah.
Danny Robson? Is he Danny Robson? Danny. Should we just go with Dan?
Daniel Robson.
slightly more interesting game, harder to predict. Harlequins hosting Bristol.
This might be the most even game of the weekend, I'd say.
Quins at home.
Yeah.
Bristol away, please.
Quins at home. I'm interested to get some more data on Quins' performance, because on the face of it, their very narrow loss to Exeter looks good, but you don't know. With only the one game under the belt.
Don Brandt v. Hughes. Although Don Brandt didn't start this weekend, but
yeah.
Don Brandt v. Hughes is a number 8 matchup that makes the mouth water.
Now, the fact that you're not that keen on Exeter tells me that Exeter win over Harlequins. Did they play Harlequins?
Yes. They did.
It means you mustn't rate Harlequins that highly.
Well, no, what I just said was, it could be that was a very good Exeter win against a very good Harlequins defence, because Harlequins defence looked good.
Yeah.
So I don't know at this point, I don't know whether it's Exeter don't have that spark because they've got a few key players away, or whether Harlequins are just much better defensively than they've stepped on again, which is highly possible.
Bristol are going to go to Harlequins and they're going to win.
That'll be tough. I think I'm favouring a home win, but I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
This is the game of the weekend.
Yeah. So then
Marcus Smith against Callum Sheedy, 2 young guys on Eddie Jones' peripheral radar.
What about who's the new kid? Yohan.
The young lad that scored.
Yohan.
Yeah. Second younger. I love the idea.
Roberts. Was
it Roberts?
Jones Smith.
He's Welsh. Does that help?
Ewan Lloyd.
Ewan Lloyd,
that's it.
Yep. I wonder if he'll make the bench again. It's a very different proposition playing away from home.
Imagine being Ian Madigan now.
Yes. So allegedly, he's off to France.
Madigan.
Yep.
Next year, or?
As soon as they can get him out the door, I would guess.
Yeah, he will not be cheap.
No, he might be one of the most expensive fly halves in the entire league. His pay packet will not correlate directly with his talent, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he's a good fly half, but he's not a top three fly half, let alone one of the best paid guys in the league.
He's a good fly half. I always felt he wears his shorts slightly too high.
I've always thought he kicked the ball too hard and passes too hard.
Good player though.
Yeah,
I'll tell you whose shorts I loved this weekend. Not Premiership, going back to the World Cup. Kurtley Beale.
I knew you were going to say Kurtley Beale. I was about
Beale
to say Kurtley Beale.
With a tucked-in shirt, with a high short.
High shorts, tucked in, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, he can do what he wants.
Absolutely.
Bristol win.
Give me Quinns, just.
By how many?
Quinns by 4 points.
Yeah, I Quinns by about...
Not having that. Not having that.
Four
one,
to 8 points.
One bit. Bristol, yeah. I'm going to say Bristol by 7.
The other Saturday game, London Irish hosting Sale.
And
confident?
Yeah.
Confident in your team?
I would say... I don't support London Irish. I would say Sale probably do this.
Yeah. I think they will.
It's hard to... London Irish, they showed up all... No, actually, what am I talking about? Sale are going to win by 15 points.
Yeah, I think Sale are going to win by... Yeah, 15, 20 points.
They're going to smash them, actually. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, Sale will have... be in their bonnet after losing that to...
Yes, they will.
It'll be miserable in Carrington this week.
And they'll be looking... Yeah, it will be. It'll be harsh in Carrington this week. And then as good as those young back three are, I think Sale, the Hammer, Denny, Ashton, Yard, whatever combination they play
week,
will...
Maybe. The Wings didn't play too badly. Anyway, it doesn't
McGuigan not good.
He did very good. 27
they'll
points.
They'll do... 5,000 lineouts, and then they'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Leicester Saracens.
Final game on the Sunday. Yeah.
I can't believe this is the game of the week. The Sunday game. I know it's picked in advance, but the big name. Why would that be, Tim? Is that just TV audiences? Leicester, a big club. Saracens, a big club.
Well, it's got a lot of history in the two clubs, two sides that have won the league more than any other.
What are the what's the televised game on Saturday?
I'm not sure, actually. Is it that...
I'd hope it'd be Quinns-Bristol.
Quinns-Bristol, you'd hope.
Are you working?
No.
Hmm.
Going away next weekend.
Oh, very nice.
Player.
Well, problem being, I didn't book the flights or stuff. But we need to talk about this in terms of the pod. But the flight is when England are... I'm in the air when England are playing.
Oh my God.
I'm hoping for a big delay. So EasyJet, if you can... Or Extinction Rebellion. Manchester, Terminal 1.
I'm so sorry
about
everything.
The flight to Kalamata, please. Just take care of it.
The live game on the Saturday is... I think it's going to be a one-sided affair. Gloucester v Wasps.
Is it? I can see that. Two big teams.
Yeah, I can see the big teams. Previous top four.
They're all big teams.
Leicester v Saracens.
Saracens are going to win.
I think Saracens will win. I think some of the young lads who got some good experience in that.
Question is, will Noel Reid play?
It's a great question.
It is a good question.
Will he kick?
It's a big question. Super valuable Noel Reid. Right, I think we're done here.
I'm going to go for
Saracens by 8 points for me.
Yeah, 8 will be fine.
Leicester at home by...
Madness, utterly. And what's their route to victory? Boot of Noel Reid.
The boot of Noel Reid. Yes, they're giving me a bit of stick because I drafted him in fantasy rugby draft, and then
he's trying to shop him.
It's not the fact that you drafted him; that's not an issue at all. No. The fact you're trying to leverage.
Make me an offer for Noel Reid. No, Tim. I don't think I will.
He may not be available as a free agent later this week. To be confirmed.
Thing is, the person you're trying to shop him to is probably stupid enough to buy him. He just needs to keep up the pressure.
Right. Let's go.
Yeah, It is now. Oh, it's, God. It's 10 to Keep 12, 10 right. to midnight.
Excellent. Right.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.